Yeah,
So
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah,
I was like, I'd be especially shocked there, but like that's one
there's
of like
I just
mine sitting around three. I want to re-listen to it. Like it's got a lot of like the singles have a lot of replay
Have
value.
you only listened to
There's
it? Have you only listened to it once?
twice, and
Like, uh-oh.
it clicked slightly more on my second listen, but it's still like I was still a bit disappointed. Like I felt like it has a lot of really interesting and cool ideas, and I think it's amazing that a lot of reviewers have pointed out how it's more introspective, how much more I think like how much more dynamic it is compared to a lot of like modern pop releases, and how it
Yeah.
kind of encompasses so many different styles of dance music. But to me, my issue with it there is it feels like for every interesting experimental like detour it goes, and they start building up these really cool ideas on each track, and they just end abruptly, like it feels to me. And that's something like I feel like a lot of criticism online, maybe less so in like mainstream media, but it tends to focus on what is considered like experimentation as automatically being like a barometer for quality. Like if an album does something wild, even if it doesn't
Yeah.
feel like entirely cohesive, then we should award them for the experimentation in and of itself. The album, I don't know if you've listened to it. Elijah was pestering, Elijah's another friend of ours, was pestering me to give it a shot, or pestering, The Lamb as Effigy by Sprain. And have you listened to that one?
Yes, I'm guessing I have, if you're bringing it up in this exact concept, then we probably have a very similar opinion on it because I do think that album is a bit disjointed in certain ways. Is that what you're saying?
Like it's
Yeah.
great. It's got a really unique, like
Yeah.
almost like panic-inducing sound to it. But then there's that one like long 20-minute drone section. I just didn't understand like the purpose of it.
Oh, but that's fun. That's funny because actually that was my favorite track on First Listen.
Oh, cool.
I only listened to it once, but my favorite tracks are actually both the 20-minute long ones. Like those are both my favorites personally. I understand where you're coming from though. It was kind of a detour.
No, I mean like the final one, like I think that one worked really well. But I just mean like it
You
felt
just need
bit
to
like the
know.
just the just the droning noise to me. Like it felt more like something they could have done rather than something they should have done, like to
Yeah.
feed the narrative. And I'm just wondering like what your thoughts on that. Like the idea of like I do think like for me, what I always like to say is I don't necessarily gravitate towards like experimental music. I just really like a lot of music that happens to have like experimental qualities to it. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know. Like I'm just wondering what you think. Like, do you think there's kind of overemphasis and a lot of like criticism on like experimentation above like cohesion?
Personally, I have a lot. I'm like very. I have a lot of very conflicting views on this. As an artist, I've made a lot.
That's okay, I can censor that.
And so yeah, I've like messed around a lot with that. But I think, in my opinion, the what matters the most to me is that the artist actually feels confident in what their artistic decision is kind of how I feel. It's like if they feel it serves a purpose, then I agree. One of the biggest examples is another Elijah Core album. And it's made by The Knife, if you know that band.
Oh, is that Shaking the Habitual? I've been wanting to
Yeah,
check that
Shaking
one
the
out.
Habitual. That album, I got really infuriated on my first listen for that album because, and I imagine how you felt about the drone on The Lamb as Effigy is very similar to how I felt about the drone on this album, which I thought was way more of a detour because most of this album's like really fun, upbeat, like EDM with a very experimental edge with like these really tribal grooves and these really like intense vocals. But then you'll just have these like 20-minute ambient, like dark ambient drone pieces after them, and it's like it just kills the momentum and it makes you exhausted. And then when it comes back, it doesn't have the same feeling. And it's just like, what was the point of that? It's just like you're hitting a brick wall. And that's like my biggest critique of that album. It's like if it weren't for the dark ambient drone, like that could have genuinely been one of my favorite albums ever. Like I love experimental EDM. I love the core sound of that album outside of the drone. And it felt like the drone wasn't even particularly creative compared to the EDM. Like the EDM had more interesting ideas. It was just randomly just drone. I don't know.
I mean,
Like, I love drone.
yeah,
Like,
same here. Like, I
yeah.
love like Boris Feedbacker is like my second favorite of theirs, probably. It's so creative, it's so crushingly heavy and aggressive.
You have like
And I recently listened.
darkness of like a five, right?
Yeah, I have it out of five, I'm pretty sure. Like,
Yeah.
I haven't listened to it in a while, but I have the vinyl. So, I mean, I liked it enough.
You're the
Yeah.
vinyl for that's crazy.
Yeah. And I listened to like Earth 2 Special Frequencies Edition very recently. And I love that one too. Like, not as much as Boris. Like, it's a bit more meat and potatoes thrown, but like, I don't know. It was like the perfect day. It was like very overcast, very like moody atmosphere. And I'm like, you know
I need
what?
to re-listen
I'm
to that
feeling
one.
exhausted. I'm feeling exhausted. Why don't I just turn this on and kind of like drift off while I'm reading my book? And it was just an amazing experience, honestly. Like, I think
Yeah.
that's so much like people don't really put enough value or enough value or enough like consideration into also like their particular moods, their mindset at the time. Like you mentioned, like being so
Yeah.
out of it with Brat, and I think that's something that really should be like on one hand, yeah, you don't want to become like too emotionally driven in your criticism, but I think it's also important to acknowledge, hey, this could have been partially why I was really enjoying this or wasn't really enjoying this piece of work, be it a film, be it a music, be it an art piece, right? Like,
Yeah,
I don't know.
ironically, yeah, I get what you mean. Ironically, like Girl in the Half Girl by Liv, that album actually clicked with me so
That was
much
great.
because I was sick when I first listened to it. I was like in my bed, I was sick, and I was like felt lonely. It was Christmas, actually. It was Christmas Day in America. Like, I don't know if you have Christmas in Canada, sorry.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course we do. No, we sac well, no, we sacrifice small children to the elder gods. And the elder, you know, simple thing. Just
I
Canadian
guess
stuff.
I kind of forget how certain stuff is, if it's just American culture or not. But anyways, like
Fair enough.
with like Girl in the Half Pearl, like I felt really lonely. I felt really disconnected. And it just felt like it really perfectly hit to the point where it was so distinct and it became such like a favorite because of that. Well, the thing that and you're talking about the overall mood and whatnot and how it affects. Like I would say like that's very common for mood to affect, and it's actually why certain albums can hit so hard in like certain states. I mean, I never listen to Dobudette by Tchaikovsky when I'm like in a tired mood. Even though that's like, even though I don't know if it's a 10 anymore, like it's one of my favorite albums ever still, but like I would never put that on when I was tired. And I always wait for when the moment feels right, and I still often get it wrong for when I play the album because of very specific mood. Like the time I listened to it first, I was just like, oh cool, let's get into something new. And then I just put it on and it was just an immediate 10 for me. It was like it literally blew my mind. And so like
It's a damn cool record.
if you like use your mood, if your mood can really affect how you view something. I mean, like I remember one time I listened to 1000 Gecs by 100 Gecs when depressed in the shower, and it did not. It was so annoying. It was, I mean, I know a lot of people are already annoyed by that album, but like I love that album. But like when I listen to that album when I'm depressed, it's awful. And like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like for me, the best music usually transcends that, but still there's always like a mood that will that will really impact how you listen to music, if that makes any sense, and like impact how you perceive the music and what is particularly enjoyable.
Oh no, I couldn't have said it more. Like that's basically been my experience with like Untrue by Burial. Like the first time I listened to it, I was rushing from place to place on a bus, didn't really sink into the atmosphere. I was like, where are the wub-wubs? This is supposed to be like dubstep. Like, but then I did more research too into like the foundations of that genre, listened to more like traditional dub and also like his learned about his background and sort of like started picking apart the samples and like this very unique, like dark atmosphere. And it's hit really different for me, like wandering around campus in the middle of the night. Like I totally understand that. It's not quite like a 10 out of 10 for me, but I totally think it's a great album. Like it's just, my mind has changed so much on that one. Like so much of it has to do with mindset, mood, time of day. Like, yeah. And listen, so I've really loved talking with you, but unfortunately my meeting time is around 6 minutes. So I just wanted to run by one more question before we get to like closing statements. If you could have worked with like any famous producer, any famous artist, like it doesn't even have to be the ones you've mentioned today or one you even like that much. Like who would you have like wanted to tap? It can be dead too.
I mean, since you added the they can be dead too, I mean, I would say like a year ago or like maybe like some months ago, I would have said like I would have probably said Sophie, but I would say that's very, very recently changed to a very the very obvious answer of A.G. Cook to me, like the producer from
Oh,
Charli XCX.
yeah.
Because he produces for Charli XCX, he produces for GFOTY, he produces for Hannah Diamond, he produces for practically every single PC Music member except for the ones that are mostly producers, which isn't a lot of them to be fair. And he like produces the instrumentals. He'll even work with some of the producers like Felicita with Lip Gloss Twins and making crazy stuff like that. And so like he really has enhanced a lot of people's musicality, and his own music itself is also really great. And I feel like there's just something about working with him that would really show what like I would want to get into making music, because he just seems to know how to do everything. Like if you listen to like 7G, it's like you might like people will stereotype him as like just being a bubblegum bass guy, but like 7G does everything. It does IDM, it does trance music, it does like alt country for that matter. Like there's
I'm gonna
like
have to give
stuff
that a
on,
spin. I've been
yeah, like
kind of in an alt country mood lately, so like
I mean, don't put 7G on and when you're in the mood to just hear everything. You might call it disjointed with how everything's been, but there's just something that connects it because all AG's mind and his melodicness and his stuff. But 7G is supposed to be like this grand concept album, and it really shows him as an artist, and it shows him in like this bold state and whatnot. And I don't know, I would really love to work with him because I feel like he would bring a lot out of me, and I would say at this point he's probably produced most of, m more of my favorite songs than any other producer.
Nice. That's amazing. And yeah, like I really wish we could like talk for a bit longer. Maybe if there's ever a future interview, I'll buy the Zoom upgrade. But no, I really enjoyed this. Do you want to like plug your music, like any upcoming projects, your where you can be found?
Ironically, I'm probably gonna be changing everything pretty soon after this.
Oh.
So, yeah, I haven't, I don't know if you read that message I put on Rate Your Music, but I said I'm like gonna be wanting to change my music from XP Escobard to Exquenda. And
Okay.
so in the future for my releases, whenever that happens, I'm gonna be releasing them under Exquenda. I'm probably gonna really start focusing on Bandcamp again, but also I'm gonna be also putting stuff on as many platforms as I can. And I don't really have a single project coming soon. I have some crazy ideas I'm working on. I have some mostly lame ideas I'm working on because my brain is in the weirdest place it's ever been, but there's a bunch of other, that's for a different day to talk about. But yeah, there's a lot. I know there's going to be something coming from this because I have been making some stuff I genuinely love, but it is really like surrounded by just a sea of stuff I hate. And so, yeah, it's going to be really hard for me to come out with stuff. I'm probably going to be dropping singles is what's going to happen. I had an idea of like dropping like this like dramatic like spoken word piece over like this experimental instrumental to like proclaim the death of my previous music and whatnot to progress myself. And I don't know. I think singles will help because my brain isn't cohesive at all right now. I can make a
Yeah.
cohesive track, but I could not make a cohesive album, and so I feel like I should just stay away, especially since I want to make a cohesive album. Like
I mean,
it's
yeah, of course.
dream
Like,
of mine.
exactly what you said earlier. It's like if it's the artist's intent, like that pulls through, then that's what should matter. All
Yeah.
right. That was amazing. Thank you so much for
Yeah.
also putting up with the shenanigans like getting here.
Yeah,
But no,
yeah.
I had a great talk, and yeah,
Yeah.
no, I'll see you later. And this has been William Hofsing, Exquenda Penrose, for CJSF 90.1 FM. Have a wonderful day.
Sunset Over IKEA by Apollo Ghosts from their record Amethyst. Before that, you heard William's interview with Exquenda Penrose right here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I am Jesse, happy to be here with you for this hour of talk and music. Coming up next is Democracy Now in 12 and a half minutes or so. And so I'm going to share some more music with you to round out the hour. This track by Francis Baptiste is from his new record, Saint Clip, the Trickster. And it is accompanied by this little bit of a description. Coyote stories are central to the Silks people's oral tradition. For countless generations, the Sioux have taught their children valuable lessons through the misadventures of Coyote, or Senk Lip. Senk Lip is a mischievous, flawed figure. He's selfish and boastful. His desires get him into troubles that are often comedic, and yet the Creator favors him. Sioux's children are entertained by his foibles, but they also learn from his mistakes. As Senk Lip learns from his failings, so do the Sioux's children who are wrapped in his tales. This idea of learning through failure is central to Francis Baptiste's new album, Saint Clip, the Trickster. Baptiste is a songwriter who sings in both English and Nasilksen, his native language, which is currently an endangered language with fewer than 100 fluent speakers. Through his music, Baptiste tries to keep his language alive. Every song is an opportunity for him to teach Nasilksen vocabulary to his son, himself, and anyone else who's listening. So, we are going to hear the first track, which is also kind of the title track, I suppose, of Senk Lip the Trickster. This is The Trickster by Francis Baptiste.
Considering how ignored It's a new record.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
Since moving to BC, I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
The Arts Show, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Thank you.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.